Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
In my disappointment yesterday, in the way that Arturis Karnisovas kind of communicates or lack thereof some of the state of the Chicago Bulls and lack of awareness he shows, I did not talk about the fact that Arturis continues to show that the Bulls really, despite trading Zach LaVine, despite getting their own first-round pick, really don't have a plan. We're going to talk a little bit about that. First, we're going to talk about the injuries to the Chicago Bulls and why the Bulls' medical staff, despite changing a couple of times over the last 3 to 5 years, still always seems to get and misdiagnose injuries. And we're also going to talk about the players that have the opportunity to step up with some of those injuries over the remaining part of the season and preview tonight's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to get to all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Derek Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. I want to start off with some quotes from Arturis Karnisovas, going back to the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast where he said this, right? We all understand where we are in a transition period, right? What we try to do is how do you minimize the timeline of that transition? I think by having players that played 4, 5, 6 years in the league, I think that kind of doesn't set you back too far. And that was the idea. You continue drafting guys and getting talent while you have a young team, but that young team has players that already played 6, 5, 4 years in the league, and then you look to build on that. He also said that the term rebuild is overused and that the franchise isn't necessarily in that position because of all the experienced young talent they've added. Okay. All right. So let's start off here, right? I'm going to start off with the positive, right? I do think that when you are in a transition period, as Arturis Karnisovas mentioned on Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, that it actually is good to get some young vets in here, right? That you could, that still have a chance to maybe even grow in expanded roles, right? That still, you can still put in pillars to run an actual offense, right? And I think that's probably what he's getting at, right? Is to say, we want some young veterans around here. That way, we're not just having young guys out there just running up and down the court, guys that have been, that have gone through the rigors of the NBA, guys that have been on teams that have won some games, guys that have gone through things at the NBA level. And the Bulls do have that, right? And I do think that you look at what Zach Collins at 27 years old has brought to the Bulls with Nikola Vucevic being out, not just because of his play on the court, because look at the coaches he's played under, right? You look at a guy like Trey Jones, a guy that's 25 years old, and you look at how poised he is coming off the bench. That definitely has helped the Chicago Bulls team, right? And while the Bulls have been playing with heart and hustle, as I mentioned in yesterday's episode, they are those players, and Kevin Huerter, when he was healthy, those are players that have helped that transition for the Chicago Bulls. I'm not blind to that. Having a guy like Lonzo Ball at 27 years old that you extended because of the way that he helps develop young guys, right? Having a team of young guys that are still learning how to play, don't know how to get their own shot off yet, can't score in isolation, that really doesn't, it's not NBA basketball, right? So taking what Arturis Karnisovas tried to lay out there, I took that as, and the way that I'm internalizing that is, he wants guys around that know how to already play NBA basketball. That's why when we're putting in sets, they understand the communication on the court, when they could tell the young players, hey, this is where you need to be. Hey, over your, on the left, right, to hedge. Those type of things. You have guys that can communicate that, right? And I think what AK is here is, and this is a difference that I tell a lot of people. I still get comments every single day. Oh, well, the Bulls, they're tanking. No, the Bulls aren't tanking. They're just a bad basketball team, right? And I think that there's a difference in that. Tanking teams try to actively be bad. A tanking team, for example, right? A team that was trying to tank, it wouldn't have been any question on if we're going to trade Kobe White. They would have traded Kobe White. And they would have traded Kobe White for whether it was 2 seconds, a first, or whatever it is. They would have moved on from that, right? A team that's trying to rebuild, right, and retool does things a little bit differently. And there's still that difference in the way that Bulls fans think. You got so many Bulls fans like, oh yeah, we're tanking, so we need to trade Io. We need to trade Kobe. Heck, even let's even trade Josh Giddey. Hey, does he got value? Let's trade him. And it's like, that's not what the Bulls are doing here, right? And I've been telling you guys that for the better part of a year and a half, that if and when the Bulls moved on from Zach LaVine, they weren't going to go into all of a sudden some tanking mode, right? So when people say things like, well, they're being out-tanked by Brooklyn, they're being out-tanked by Philly, yeah, because those teams are actively trying to tank. Now, I will say this. Things like, I wouldn't be surprised if Kobe ends up sitting in this game. We'll see what happens. He's already listed as day-to-day. Anytime, like, those are kind of tanking type moves, so there you go on that one. But I understand what AK's trying to lay out here, right, in saying that we don't want to just do this thing where we're ripping out any veterans and we just have a team full of young guys that are just trying to figure it out, and it's just terrible basketball, because then what are those guys learning? They want to be in these games competing to win, even though they're not going to have the talent to win those games, and that's how you're growing. That's how the Bulls are hopeful to grow at this point in time. And I think that's what you're seeing from this Bulls team, right? You're seeing a team that is growing their game, and they're doing it. Now, the part of this, right, he says this, we all understand that we're in a transition. What we try to do is, how do you minimize the timeline of that transition? Here's the thing, right? The only way that you can minimize the transition and the timeline of where the Bulls are at with that transition, at least in my opinion, is by drafting well, right? You're not going to this Bulls team is going to be bad for a while until you hit on a star. Now, that's good. That could and will take a while for the Chicago Bulls, and there's no problem in that aspect of it. But I think, like, you're fooling yourself if you're thinking that by keeping guys that have been around the league 5, 6, 4 years, everything that he laid out there, that you're really minimizing that transition. Because unless those guys also are star-level players or borderline star-level players, you're going to still be in the same place. Now, I do think you're jump-starting that a little bit, right, by, again, being able to play basketball the right way, teach guys that coming in to compete to win, those type of things are important, right? But, you know, it's clear that AK's vision of, and if you can even call it that, right, his plan, so to say, it still relies on a lot of hope, right? And it's not, and AK isn't as aggressive about going out there and having that kind of plan that you see other front offices have, right? Some front offices would be really aggressive of, hey, we're going to get these picks in the next couple of years. We're going to bring in the guys. We're going to draft them heavily. AK, you could tell by the way that he talks, he's still hopeful that whether it's a Kobe, whether it's an Io, whether it's a Modest, whoever it is, one of these guys turns into a star so we can start winning sooner rather than later. And I get that hope, right? Now, I hope that Modest turns into a superstar in year two. Is it likely to happen? Hell no. But would I love for it to happen? Hell yes. You know why would I love for that to happen? Because if it does, that does mean that this Bulls team can start winning more. Now, I said it in yesterday's episode. I understand where the place that this team is in. And the team, the heart that this team has been playing with here lately, I appreciate that from my basketball team, from my squad, because that's what you want to see from young guys who are playing scrappy. The development that Josh Giddey has done here, right? And I get it that people are, understandably so, and I want to be clear, going to question it because of the time period that it's happening in. I understand that as well, right? But it's good to see those guys grow. It's good to see those guys develop. It's good to see those guys fight. It's good to see those guys going through what they're going through. So ultimately, hopefully, prayfully, that we actually end up in a better place sooner rather than later. But it also, much like Arturis and his impatience initially when bringing this team together, when saying coming here to the Bulls and saying we're going to build organically through the draft over time, and then immediately trading for Nikola Vucevic, signing another over 30-year-old in DeMar DeRozan, signing Alex Caruso, Alonzo Ball, and jump-starting that, I hope that AK is prepared to sit here and be in what it's actually going to take to get this team to where I'm sure he ultimately wants it to go, and that's being a winning team. And that's just the results of it, right? You can't jumpstart that. You can't, unless you're signing a star or trading for a star, which teams usually, if you're doing that, you want to set a base of, you have a core full of young players that just need that star to get over the hump, right? You need that part of it. The Houston Rockets may be in that spot here at the end of the season, right? The Memphis Grizzlies could be in that spot at the end of the season. The Orlando Magic are in that spot, right? So I understand that, and I would love to get there, but it takes time. Usually, you don't see it happen before 3 or 4 years out. You just don't see it happen then. So, you know, it's going to take some time. And I get wanting to minimize and make it and clear the pathway for these young guys to be able to play basketball the right way. That's what this ultimately is about. But it still seems like AK is a as a president of basketball operations, somebody who's running the team, that still does not really have that still doesn't really understand the process, right? And not to say that I have any more understanding of the process necessarily. Like, I mean, I'm sitting here on the outside looking in, but it just seems like AK still just is a little bit out of touch with what it's really going to take to get this team out of the doldrums of what it's in. And so we'll see what the future holds there. You know, AK's words, I go and listen, give me the hot sauce. Like, when you listen to this, and I've seen some people get frustrated with Stacey on, well, why didn't he ask the tough questions? Like, I don't think people understand when you're on this side of it, when you are the interviewer, right? You don't really do that, right? Now, I wish you would have asked a little bit more tough questions, but Stacey was never going to press AK on.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Well, why did you make this decision? It was stupid. Like, that's just not what Stacey King was going to do. But I do think in giving the platform for AK to talk, like always, you start seeing and realizing AK talks in circles, my boy. And I just hope that it's whether it's his lack of being able to communicate it out publicly, I just hope behind closed doors, this Chicago Bulls team really understands who and what they need to do to get this shit together. Because I tell you what, with what AK has said, it's going to be a much, much longer process. And I think what he realizes, and in that case, I just always worried about that disconnect that AK has. But that's my thought process. You guys can let me know how you feel, as always, down below. Next up, I want to talk about the Chicago Bulls medical team. And it continues to be bullshit. So just go over the recent things with the Chicago Bulls. We're just going to look at two injuries, right? We can look at more, but let's just look at the last two, right? Patrick Williams, who was initially diagnosed with a bruise, right? And it was upgraded to tendonitis, which then led to him needing the platelet-rich plasma injections, which then, you know, to help with the recovery of his knee, which then put him on, you know, he's been on injured since February 2nd, right? I'm sorry, February 12th. Carry the one. February 12th, right? And he's not expected to return until March 6th, which is at earliest, a couple more games, or a couple more days from now. That's almost a month that with something that was initially just deemed to be just a simple bruise that he could have healed from. Then let's go to Ayo Dosunmu's injury, right? You know, you look at Ayo and that, you know, he got imagery on the shoulder after initially being out for 3 games. They let him come back, and then they deemed after imagery, oh, it's a bad bruise in there, and then instability in there, and he has to go out and get surgery that's going to end his season, right? So and don't get me wrong, I know that they sat down, they work with Ayo. Ayo also wanted to try to play through this injury, but the Bulls medical staff, the job of a medical staff sometimes is to protect players from themselves, right? And to diagnose things, you have to start wondering, how do the Chicago Bulls medical staff, despite changing medical teams, Tanaka ain't even here anymore, always seem to misdiagnose things? That is a huge concern, a huge red flag, right? And the Bulls are just going to have to try to figure that out, man. Like, that's something that I'm just worried about, especially for the longevity and health of players and things like that. How often we misdiagnose things. You look at the Lonzo Ball injury, for example, earlier in the year, which is something that we've kind of forgotten about, right? Initially deemed to be, a sprain. And, you know, they had the initial timeline that he was going to come back. And then it was like, oh, wait, it's almost a grade 3 sprain. He could have almost needed surgery. It would have ended his season. Like, imagine had they missed that one as well and misdiagnosed it, right? And Lonzo, who has been a revelation for the Bulls, despite his shooting not really being well, imagine if it would have come down to, oh, it's just a regular sprained wrist. You know, Lonzo gets back out there and plays, or he plays with it heavily taped up. He gets one swipe on that wrist, and then it's like, oh, wait, now it's a grade 3. He's out for the rest of the year. Like, imagine that. And unfortunately, this Chicago Bulls medical staff, despite the faces changing, and I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what it is. I know that the Bulls aren't the only franchise that deals with this. There are other franchises that have this happen. It happens throughout, but it's just like, you got to be better with that. And that's why you, like, when you look at players that like sometimes have their own medical staff, they want to go out and get second opinions. Like, that's why you can't, if you can't trust your team's medical staff, what the hell can you trust, right? But with that said, with the recent injuries, it opens up minutes, right? We already know Patrick Williams has been gone for a while. Aldesumu opens up about 30 minutes per game now for other players, right? And one of the players that have definitely stepped up in that is Trey Jones, right? Trey Jones is somebody who's really going to be, you know, ready to step into that as well for the Chicago Bulls. But with Lonzo and Ayo Dosunmu out, Trey Jones is kind of playing more of the Lonzo backer role. He's not in the starting lineup like Lonzo was, but he is in there playing that facilitator. He's given solid defensive minutes as well. Not nearly the defender or the disruptor that Lonzo Ball is. I'm not trying to make him out to be that, but I do think he gives that defensive effort, again, coming from a system team where he understands how to play basketball, right? And so if Lonzo is going to continue to be down for any additional amount of time, we'll remain to be seen with that, right? Is that Trey Jones, Josh Giddey, Julian Phillips, these are the guys that are really slated to step in the most, right? Julian Phillips, who got a little bit of opportunity there. You love seeing Phillips, you know, get opportunities. He hasn't necessarily made the most of it. Now, he did play 20 minutes on at least four games since Patrick Williams has been sidelined. It just makes sense there. With Kevin Huerter also out, right? We don't know what's going on with Kevin Huerter. Also, it's going to open up a lot of minutes for guys, right? So, as of right now, Kobe White's listed as day-to-day with the thumb. Josh Giddey's listed as day-to-day with a quad injury. Kevin Huerter's listed as day-to-day for tonight's game as well with a sprained right knee. Lonzo Ball's listed as day-to-day. So, you got all these guys, and that's on top of Patrick Williams, Nikola Vucevic, Ayo Dosunmu being out, right? And so, a guy like Julian Phillips and his two-way ability, right, his ability to hit down shots, and I would even just say focus on the versatility, the switchability he brings defensively, he's going to have a huge opportunity, right? Trey Jones, him being a point guard that operates as a point guard, doesn't need a whole lot of shots, but when he does take shots, is fairly efficient, but can absolutely operate an offense, especially for a young bench unit that needs a point guard that's going to be able to help distribute the ball when Giddey's not out there with the bench unit, staggered with them. So, Trey Jones has a role. There's no question about it. Trey Jones has the role. You're really looking at Julian Phillips and Dalen Terry to be able and their ability to step up here. Now, Ayo Dosunmu texted Dalen Terry, right, yesterday morning and said, it's your time. That's what he said to Dalen Terry, right? Dalen Terry got his fourth career start in the last game. He only scored two points, one rebound, and one assist in 19 minutes. He was 1 of 5 from the field. He has to perform and play better. This is Dalen's opportunity to show what can he bring. Now, I don't know if he's going to continue to start. I would like to see Julian Phillips and Patrick Williams get a chance to start, but then again, that really affects the size that you have coming off your bench, so maybe not. It may honestly end up being like a THT. Wouldn't be surprised if he gets an opportunity to start. Not necessarily saying I'm the happiest with that, but it's not about making me happy. It's about doing what you feel is the best for your team, right? So you're looking at Dalen Terry. You're looking at Julian Phillips. You're looking at their ability and the chances that they're going to get to really step up over this, and that's what the season's about. The rest of the season is really about opportunity, growth, and development, right? And who takes the most advantage of the opportunities that are there. Josh Giddey's taking advantage of the more opportunities to shoot, the more opportunities to score, the more opportunities to have the ball in his hands. If Kobe White's down as well, it's going to open that even more for Josh Giddey to create. You got to see who else is going to step into that. Modest definitely stepped into, since he stepped into the starter role, he's taken the most. He's made the most out of the opportunities that he's been given as well. And so the Bulls now with 21 games left, really looking at, hey, what's the future going to look like? They got a tough matchup tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cleveland Cavaliers are 50-10. They already have 50 wins with 22 games left on their schedule. That's what the Cleveland Cavaliers, they have 22 games left. Even if they go 500, that's 60 wins, right? And you look at this, this is going to be such a test for the Chicago Bulls. They're second in net rating in the NBA at 11.7. First in offensive rating at 123.8. Seventh in defensive rating with 112.1. First in true shooting percentage at 61 true shooting percentage. First in effective field goal shooting percentage of 58.7%. 14th in assist percentage, right? Third in turnovers. They do not turn the ball over very often, right? 11th in steal percentage. They're going to try to force the Bulls into turnovers. And, oh, by the way, they're sixth in rebounding as well. The Cleveland Cavaliers are an absolute monster in this Eastern Conference, and the Bulls got to be prepared for it because if they are not, the Cleveland Cavaliers will not only mop the floor with the Chicago Bulls despite missing players or whatever else it is, this would be, it could look like an absolute massacre if the Bulls aren't prepared for this one. And listen, it's probably going to look like a massacre regardless. Am I expecting the Chicago Bulls to win this game? Hell no, right? That'd be crazy to expect them to win a game against a team that already has 50 wins with a month left into the season. But Evan Mobley isn't going to play today. He's already been ruled out, so that is what it is. That offers the Bulls an opportunity, at least on the boards, to get active a little bit more. But this team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, are a monster. And the Bulls, all they can do is, like, I tell you this, the heart and hustle that the Bulls have been playing with, they need every single bit of that if they're going to pull this game out. Can they do it? Let's see. I'm going to have some hope for the Bulls. Let's see what they can do tonight, if they can come into this game prepared, if Billy Donovan can have them coach well. It's at the UC. Let's see what we can get done. But that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.